Welcome back to Scripture Spinning Class, a workout in Bible study. Last time we did a basic introduction and posed some questions to you. When did you first start reading Scripture? What confused you the most? What Scriptures make your head spin right now? And it's time now to move on to some of the problems that can cause your head to spin out of control. The kingdom of religion is not like the kingdom of our God and King. Religion can have elements of a form of spirituality, but more so be formed by perhaps maybe politics or even the leader's motives. What drives people to be motivated, therefore, to join these so-called groups? Scripture, literature, ancient texts can be taken out of context, and the indolent or simple-minded can be conned by the text that is presented, and if it's not checked and validated, can lead the blind into the pit, as Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. These are spin doctors, spinning yarns and fables. Let's look at what 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 has to say about that. 2 Timothy 4, 4. For the time will come, this is verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Clearly we see that problems that can cause your head to spin out of control is also about false teaching and false doctrine, things that itch at our ears. I can make you rich, the Lord can bless you, give me your money. And you will be rich. I can heal you and drive out the demon. You have a curse. Pay me some money and I'll get rid of the curse. All of those things can itch people's ears into hearing some new thing, as well as some new teaching, for instance, that sounds sensational. And so they turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And Timothy clearly said that this could be a problem. So we clearly see that things taken out of context, you can be conned by the text. So be very, very careful is the admonition. I'm going to pose a question here. Who has heard about the recent horrific events in Jamaica about the cult group? They're referring to them as a pastor and a church. I don't do so. I don't give them the honor or distinction of referring to them as a pastor or a church. I call them what they are, a cult group. How do you think these people got fooled into believing the doctrines this demon leader espoused? Well, that's a question, obviously, I'd like you to think about and to answer. If you don't know anything about the particular event I'm talking about, you can perhaps Google it. It'll come up rapidly in your Google search about the cult group in St. James, Parish of St. James, close to Montego Bay there. And it harkens back to the days of people like Jim Jones and David Koresh in Whacked Out, Texas. Or is it Waco, Texas? I can't remember which one it is. Anyway. No disrespect to the decent citizens of that particular area, Waco, Texas, but in that particular instance, that's what it was. And these people got fooled, and over again, you heard of tons of people. They were people waiting on aliens back in the day. They had sneakers, specific types of Nike sneakers, I think, waiting for these aliens, and people just get caught up in believing these things, turn their ears away from the truth completely. If you skip back now to the same book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, end days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And it goes on to describe a number of the telltale signs of that. And while the context is, you know, specific, it related to things like food and that kind of stuff, the principle is still applicable across the board about demons of doctrines, doctrines of demons, and how they can fool people to do that. But since most of us may not fall prey to this, how about other things that seem good? How about the lodge, for instance, you know, service groups, and of which there are number many, everything from Lions to Kiwanis and so forth, do really good works. But then there are other things like lodges. And those people have their own doctrine that does not line up with Christ. And that is a problem that you need to look at if you are involved in the lodge, or you are thinking of it, or you know someone in it who is close to you. These are doctrines of demons for the most part. Yes, they do good works. They go and do wonderful things for people. But when you get deeper into their secret societies, you discover, as we were told about, the deep, dark secrets of Satan are then revealed to them. Well, let's turn it around now and go, how about our own denomination that we particularly fellowship now as a Christian community? Can we be fooled? If so, maybe give me some examples of false doctrine and why do mass congregations follow them? I want you to think about that. Can we be fooled as well in the process? Let's set aside for a moment cult leaders, set aside for a moment the lodge and all of those extreme groups. But let's just look at our own group. And let's start with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. And he says here, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So even within the church system itself, the Christian fellowship of believers, there are deceivers, wolves in sheep's clothing, even within your own denomination, that will espouse doctrines of man, traditions of men, rather than the word of God itself. And again, we see in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And preceding that, verse 19 is verse 18 that says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. We are in the last hour, the last days, the end of the ages, as Jesus clearly said. And we're going to see deception, particularly in the church. And that is really where Satan works the most, is in the church system to try to deceive God's people. He already has the world captivated with all of these demons, doctrines of demons and lodge and all of those things. He has them down pat. But in our own church denomination, we can get too comfortable by not having a spirit of discernment, by not studying ourselves to be a workman approved, by not testing the spirits to see if they are from God. And your complacency is like the frog in the water, that's the temperature slowly gets turned up. And before you know it, you run the risk of saying, hey, that sounds plausible, sounds good to me. Because other men around you and women say, yeah, well, that sounds okay too. And you sort of go with the crowd. You have to be careful. I'm not trying to make you fearful. I'm not trying to say that you have to be on your guard, DEFCON 3. But you certainly need to pray for discernment. Be watchful in prayer. especially in these last days, because we can see within the actual church itself, these things are more than possible to happen. To reaffirm that, in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Prior to that, in verse 17, it tells you, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Firm foundation of what Scripture says in all its doctrinal theology. So we can see that it is possible that someone can cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Paul said, you know, "I came to you not with wise and persuasive words." I didn't come with a PowerPoint presentation and wowed you. "But I came to you with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, so that your faith may rest in Christ, not in men's wisdom." You know, we can certainly coerce people, and with flattery and with wise words and eloquence and charismatic antics, present false doctrine. The people themselves sometimes doing this are deceived, as we read in that passage, deceiving many and themselves being deceived, the blind leading the blind. So it's possible. That's why we need each other, to keep each other in check, not in a lording, you know, holier than thou manner, or arrogant, you know, "Look at what you did." No, we speak the truth in love. We keep each other accountable. We should be able to have an open door that says, "Hey, if I said something and it's wrong, please show me the error and I will, you know, change what I have said." I want you to tell me that if that ever happens to me. Make no mistake about that. I declare that, because I declare that I know in part, not in full. I rely that the Holy Spirit will lead me and teach me, but that doesn't make me infallible by any stretch of the imagination. Don't be lazy. Do your own homework. Check if, you know, PC said so and so and so. Let me look it up for myself. And if it's wrong, come back and challenge me. If I am right, then what does the Scripture teach? The Scripture teaches that God, the two of you discuss it, I'm paraphrasing, and God will show you the one who is right. That's how wonderful the Holy Spirit is to us. So let us look now at 2 Peter 3:16 to 18. And I'm going to wrap with this here. The point of this here is that, apart and aside now from the obvious cult leaders who, you know, the average believer is going to go, "Oh, that's nonsense. I'm not going to believe that." You have that discernment. Or perhaps, you know, you lodge, you're being invited to do good works in some service club and they want you to join the lodge. And, you know, most of us will say, "Nope, not going there." And then even in your own church system, if you have your pastor or a teacher, a visiting teacher, or something on the radio or whatever, and you hear it and it sounds smooth and sounds slick and so forth, you might be able to detect, wait a second, there's some error there. But there's another thing, though, that is actually a good thing that can also cause your head to spin out of control. And it's actually the understanding of Scripture itself. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, he writes, and he's talking about Paul, by the way, the apostle. So Peter is referencing the apostle Paul. And he says here in verse 16, "As also in all his epistles," Paul's epistles, "speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." It's clear that some of Paul's writings were difficult for people to understand. And that's what I'm saying, is that sometimes scripture can be difficult for us to understand. But we are to pursue this. We're not to be led astray now with unstable people who corrupt it and take that verse out of context and shape it for their own device, or just even in error alone, just ignorance. Could be plain ignorance that somebody does it without recognizing it. But we have a responsibility to make sure that we don't fall into that pit as well. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, of course. He's the teacher, the paracletus, the helper, come to remind us of everything Jesus has said and his words. But it means as a group of people, we are to help one another. We're to lean on one another. We are to pray for one another. We are to speak to one another, admonishing one another, exhorting one another, rebuking one another if when necessary, and all of that. It is a community of faith because we are the body of Christ. So that is the problems that can cause your head to spin out of control. Next time we're going to look at the solution, spin the wheel of the word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that even though there are problems that can cause us to spin out of control, you are not out of control. Neither are we, because we have the mind of Christ. Remind us of that, Lord, but also give us sharp discernment. So I pray now for anyone listening that you, Lord, impart the spirit of wisdom and discernment to all who hath an ear that wants to hear. To know the scriptures, Lord, not for academic purposes, but to know this is not the doctrine of Christ. This is a doctrine of a demon. Give them sharp, distinguished, discerning spirit to know which is which, Lord, for the edification of the body of Christ, to protect the people of God with the sword of God, the word of God. This we ask in the precious name of the Word, Jesus Christ himself. Amen.